good neighbors. We've been talking about being neighborhood missionaries over the last few weeks. And, you know, if you've been listening to this whole message series so far, if you've been with us each week, you know that 3 weeks ago we talked first about how Jesus calls us to join him on his mission. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how the river has moved, how we have bridges that used to work, but the river has moved, and so today's world calls for missionary strategies, we can call them, that bridge the river we have today. And then last week we talked about how we seek and recognize and respond to the work that Jesus is already doing in the lives of those around us, how we seek the kingdom of God. And if you've been listening to this whole message series and you've been saying to yourself, Pastor, this is all great, it's nice to know why we do these things, but please just tell me what you actually want me to do. I don't care about why, just tell me how. If that's you, then today is your day, because we're going to learn five simple missionary practices, five simple things to make part of your life to help you be a good neighbor and a neighborhood missionary. And today what we'll see, what we'll learn is that, you know, being a neighborhood missionary, it's not like a time commitment. Being a neighborhood missionary isn't about a church program. It's a lifestyle. And it's a lifestyle that leads us to joy, peace, and connection with the people around us. It's a lifestyle that lets our friends and our family see Jesus in us. So we'll get there. First, let's think. Let me fill you in on one little aspect of the church that you don't usually think about. We'll see why this is important. You know, this is one of those things that it makes perfect sense once you think about it, once you realize it happens, but it doesn't fit into the ways that we normally think about people like pastors or missionaries or other church workers or even just the way that we think about ordinary people who spend their time and spend some time volunteering in the church. You don't normally think about people like volunteers, pastors, missionaries, church workers in this way, but I can tell you that every single one of those people has asked themselves a question. And that question is this really worth it? Is this really worth it? Every one of those people has thought about what they're giving up in order to serve the church and the community. And I can tell you, when you first start thinking about whether you want to be a pastor or a church worker, you know, of course, you've got a sense of mission. We hope so, right? You've got a sense of mission. You've got a sense of call in life, but you're also thinking about, well, you know, God says I can serve him in many ways. And so you're thinking about many careers, other opportunities, other possibilities for your life. And you think about all of it, right? You know, you think about what is this lifestyle going to be like for myself and my family? You think about pay. You think about everything. And so you put all this together and you weigh it. You figure out what you really think about it all. And that was my experience, I can say. And like I said, we all make this same sort of calculation in our heads, even when we're just thinking about maybe volunteering our time for a morning or an afternoon or an evening, a one-time deal, we think to ourselves, is this really worth my time? What else could I be doing? We wonder, what am I giving up to go and serve? And we make those calculations, whether consciously or not, whether out loud or not, we ask ourselves whether serving is really worth it. And today we're going to see that being a neighborhood missionary isn't actually like that. Being a neighborhood missionary does not take time out of our lives. Being a neighborhood missionary actually gives us more joy and not less. Being a neighborhood missionary, like I said, it's not about attending a church program. It's not a time commitment. It's not a burden in our lives. It's not about setting aside some time to go knock on people's doors and get people to church, drag them out of their homes, of course. At its core, being a neighborhood missionary is about being a good neighbor. And we're not adding more things to do to our lives. We're reorienting our lives and the way we live so that our faith shows through. And mission, this big word that we use for talking about sharing the faith and making new believers, mission, just it happens naturally. I'll even go a little further than that. I'll say that, in fact, I believe you can't be a good neighbor to the people with whom you live, the people with whom you work, and the people with whom you play. You can't be a good neighbor to them without being a neighborhood missionary as well. So we're going to see how simple this is. Let's take a look at our scripture reading. And an aside, a fun fact, my own confirmation Bible verse comes from this passage. And we'll see Jesus teaching here on worry. So let's read. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life what you will eat or about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? And the message is pretty clear, right? God cares for every living creature. God cares for these ravens, Jesus says. And you can kind of imagine him maybe gesturing to a flock of ravens that's flying past or roosting nearby. God feeds those animals. Jesus says, look at them, and you are so much more valuable to them than them to God. So won't God certainly take care of your needs as well? And Jesus goes on. He points out, well, worrying can't help you with actually providing food or shelter or anything like that anyway. So don't worry. And he makes the same point again in the next couple of verses. There he uses flowers as his example and says, God cares for these. He will certainly care for you too. And now you might be wondering, what does that have to do with being a neighborhood missionary? Because Jesus isn't talking about outreach or evangelism here, right? He's talking about worry. So what's the connection? Well, what's the question that every pastor, missionary, church worker, and church volunteer asks themselves before they get involved, whether they say it out loud or not? Is this really worth it? Like I said, we're asking that question whether it's out loud or not, and even sometimes unconsciously. We kind of have this feeling that it is what I want to do or it's not what I want to do. And I am really convinced, actually, the root cause, the real reason why we don't see more Christians living as everyday missionaries in their own lives is because we worry. Because we worry. The real reason we fail to live as good neighbors to the people around us is because we worry. And we can trace that worry all the way back to the basic necessities of life that Jesus is talking about here, right? Food, clothing, shelter, human contact. So maybe we're a little bit afraid to be too Christian at our places of work because we're afraid that that could take away our livelihood if someone gets offended or something like that. Maybe we're afraid to spend more time with our neighbors because we just don't know them, and if we're honest with ourselves, strangers are kind of scary to us. Maybe we're afraid to pray with our friends or our family because we might offend someone and lose an important social connection. We naturally ask this question, what am I giving up, when we consider volunteering or serving or donating our time or even being a good neighbor. We ask this question naturally because we're just trained by life itself. We're trained every day of our lives to take care of the necessities. Take care of those things first, and only then do we move on to whatever we think of as non-essential. And being a good neighbor, it often gets shoved over into that non-essential part of our mind. But in fact, Jesus tells us that's not how this works. Let's keep reading. In verse 29, Jesus says, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Jesus promises us that God will care for us in all of our needs. God knows what we need, and he will give it to us. He promises, and then we are set free. Because God will care for us. We're set free to seek the kingdom of God first. And we talked about this last week, right? Seeking the kingdom of God. Looking for Jesus at work where he promises to be working. That's the first and the most important part of being a good neighbor and being a neighborhood missionary. And Jesus says, go do that and trust your Father in heaven. Because Jesus gives his promise of forgiveness to those who have sinned, and Jesus gives his promise of fulfillment to those who have little, and Jesus gives his promise of protection and freedom to those who are oppressed. Jesus gives his promise of enlightenment to those who walk in distress. So we seek the kingdom. We look for people who are needing those things because that's where Jesus is at work. You and I have all those promises. In Christ, we know that we are forgiven and we are made new because he died on the cross and he rose again. For you and for me. We know that our sins are taken away. We have been given the Holy Spirit and a new start in life. And as Jesus says here, God has promised to take care of us every day as well. So we're free to seek the kingdom of God. We're free to look for those people who are hurting emotionally or physically or relationally or spiritually. And we're free to join Jesus in his mission to redeem and restore those people too. And we don't need to worry that being a good neighbor will take away our safety, our security, our joy, or our peace, because Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well. So how do we actually do this? Here's those five missionary practices. That's what keeps us from being good neighbors. Hopefully we believe we can be good neighbors and God will take care of us. Here's how we do it. Here's that practical part for you practical people. And I'm one of those, by the way. So this is good for me too. First, seek the kingdom of God. Like we've talked about last week, mention it today. That's what Jesus commands most of all in our scripture reading today. We went deep on this last week, and so I don't have to say too much more, but we can ask ourselves every day, what is Jesus up to in my neighborhood? Where can I join him on his mission? Where can a little grace make a big difference in the lives of people around me? And if you can answer that question, then you know where Jesus is at work, because Jesus is in the business of offering grace. If you can answer that question, then you know where you can join Jesus on his mission. So that's first, seek the kingdom of God. Where is Jesus at work? Second, hearing from Jesus, following him around in scripture. In fact, this is why we read scripture in the first place. This doesn't come directly from that scripture reading, but this is why we read the Bible in the first place. If we want to be good neighbors, according to Jesus' definition of a good neighbor, how do we learn to do that? Well, we need to follow Jesus around and see what he does and see what he says. So if you want to be a good neighbor, it has to start with hearing from Jesus in scripture. And you can start with the Gospels. That's a great place to start. And even Mark is a good choice because it gets right into the action. But any of those Gospels are good. And you can read like a chapter a day. Or if reading for 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day is tough for you, how about while you're driving? There's audio Bibles. There's even apps for your phone. You can put those on there and listen while you're on the bus, while you're driving, anytime. It's really cool. If you want ideas or resources on how to get into the Bible, I would love to talk with you more about that later. But I think most of us can figure that out. So, the idea is that we need to follow Jesus around. Because that's how a disciple learns, right? They follow the master around. And at its most basic, we follow Jesus and we see what Jesus does, we see what Jesus says, and then we do it ourselves. So follow Jesus around in Scripture every day. And as you read, you can ask yourself two questions. What is Jesus giving me to believe here? And then what does that mean? What is Jesus giving me to do as well? So that's second. Follow Jesus in Scripture. Third missionary practice is talk with people. And you'd be surprised at how hard this really is to have an unhurried conversation with someone. But it can be. If we back up the very first statement in our scripture reading that we read today, it starts with, then Jesus said to his disciples. This is in the midst of a conversation. That's the whole context. A conversation between Jesus and his disciples and kind of a bigger conversation between Jesus and the crowds of people that are following him. And Jesus has lots of conversations with people in scripture because that's how you get to know people. Remember that Jesus' secret weapon for missionary effectiveness is hanging out with people. Hanging out with people, getting to know them one conversation at a time. And these conversations that Jesus has, you'll notice they're simply about life. And people know he's a religious teacher, so they often ask him religious things, and he teaches religious things, but they have conversations about life. And so these conversations with people, they really aren't about, you know, like shoehorning in a gospel presentation, although it's not bad to share the gospel. These conversations aren't really about putting up barriers. These conversations aren't, you know, for example, this time of year, they're not about reminding folks that, hey, Jesus is the reason for the season and it's not happy holidays, right? We don't need to do that. Talking with people is about being a good neighbor, about being a good neighbor. It's about getting to know the people around us because those people matter. God has created each one of those people individually and God loves each one of those people. So the way to talk with people is to spot someone around you and maybe start by asking their name. What's your name? Here's mine. Find out where they come from. Invite them to tell you their story and see where it goes. Talk with people around you because you care about the people around you. That's the goal. Let me say too, when I say, hey, let's talk with people, about half the people in here will say, hold on, I'm not sure I can do that. Because about half of us are those introverted folks. And you know what? That's okay. It's important for us to, I would say, honor the relational pace that God has wired you with. If you're an introvert, then for you, talking with people might look like waving at your neighbor half a dozen times before you decide to take the plunge and ask their name. Hi, what's your name? If you're an extrovert, then you might be the one, you go hunting for conversations, and when people see you open your front door, they all dive into their garages and close the door, right? Either way is good. Both are good, actually, and both are important. But honor that relational pace that God has wired you with. Because the interesting thing is that many introverts cannot stand the extroverts around them. It's too much noise, too much pressure. And so introverts can connect very well. And extroverts can go talk to each other and not bother everyone else, right? So everyone's important here. But talk with people. Take the time to talk with people around you, people in your neighborhood, people in your office, people you see at social events, people at the store, whomever God has already placed in your life. Take the time to talk with them and be willing, be available to have a conversation when people come to seek you out too. Fourth, do good. Pretty simple. Do good. Let's go back to Scripture and read the next thing that Jesus says. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Another place where worry can keep us from joining Jesus on his mission is doing good, but the point to remember is that Jesus calls us to do good. And when we are seeking the kingdom of God, when we are following Jesus around in Scripture, and when we're having conversations with people, the interesting thing is that the needs of our neighbors and our community start to become pretty apparent, because you're with these people, you're talking with them, you're caring about them. And when we see a neighbor in need, we can help. We can help make Jesus' love and goodness real and tangible to the people around us. And when we talk about doing good, we're probably not talking about grand gestures, although those are nice, I guess, but we're talking about small things you can do every day. A cup of water for someone who's thirsty, a moment spent with someone who's lonely. We're asking how we can do good in small ways to help those people who are already right around us. And so, do good. The fifth missionary practice is ministering through prayer. And when we get to know the people around us, when we're having conversations with them, when you become known as a person who does good in your neighborhood and your community, when you become known as a person who cares about your neighbors and your coworkers, the interesting thing is that people start to trust you. They start to trust you. People start to share what's really going on in their lives, and not just kind of the positive looking front that we tend to like to put up, but they share the real things, the hard things that they're dealing with. And when that happens, you can offer that person something better than just okay. Or when that happens, you can offer them something better than just like maybe jumping in and complaining with them about the person that they're complaining about. Because you're a neighborhood missionary. You are that person's connection to Jesus, and you know that Jesus is working in their life to redeem and restore. So what you can do is you can pray with them. And notice, I didn't say pray for them. I said pray with them. Pray with them, as in right then and there. And if you're not used to doing that, that sounds really scary, doesn't it? Yeah, we can nod our heads, that's okay. But it doesn't have to be. And I can tell you, you know what, it will be scary once, exactly once. It'll be scary the first time you do it, but after that it gets a lot easier because you find out it's really cool. Once you actually start praying with people, you'll find that it's not that hard. And when you offer, people don't look at you funny. And when you offer, people don't think you're weird. When someone shares something real and hard with you, they trust you. And all you have to do is say, well, thank you for sharing that with me. When things are hard in my life, I like to pray about it. Would you mind? Or would you like me to pray with you about that? And really, almost everyone you meet will be okay with that. I think I have yet to meet someone who said, no, please don't pray with me. They might feel like it's kind of awkward, but that's okay. They'll do it with you. And when you actually pray, you don't have to make that hard either. Short and to the point is good. And so you pray something like, Dear Jesus, we know that you're with us and you love us always. My friend here is hurting. Please be with my friend here in their troubles and help them. Amen. It's that simple. And you know, you can say their name there. You can actually name the difficulty they're having. That's all fine. When someone shares a real difficulty they're having in their life, you know, you don't have to solve their problems, and chances are you can't, but you know who can, and that's Jesus. You can show them some love and some care, and you can help them invite Jesus into that situation, and that's all you have to do. so we can minister to people through prayer. It's actually surprisingly easy. So these are the five practices that are part of living as a missionary, living a missionary lifestyle in your own neighborhood. Excuse me. These are those five practices. One is seek the kingdom of God. Look for what Jesus is already doing around you. Two is hear from Jesus in Scripture. Follow Jesus a little bit every day in the Bible and ask, what is Jesus giving me to believe and what is Jesus giving me to do? Three is talk to people. Talk to people. And you don't have to spend all your time talking to people like you schedule 8 hours a day. Get to know the people around you and be willing to have a conversation when people seek you out. Four is doing good. Make Jesus love and care tangible to others. Make it real to others in small ways every day. And then five is to minister through prayer. When someone trusts you enough to share something real and difficult that's happening in their life, make that simple offer of grace to them and say, would you like me to pray with you about that? And the beauty of all this is that it meets people where they're at. Right? It's not a church program. It's not a time commitment. It's not a hard sell. It's a lifestyle of being a good neighbor and a neighborhood missionary at the same time. And five simple practices are all it takes for us to show our neighbors who Jesus is, for us to have more connection and joy in with the people we're already around and in the places we already live and work and play. And honestly, when you think about those five things, these are things we feel like we should probably be doing anyway as the people of God. So let me ask you, what is Jesus inviting you to do today? Who is he inviting you to speak to? Where have you seen God's kingdom breaking in where you can join Jesus on his mission? What good is he inviting you to do? And who do you think you could try praying with? Make these five practices part of your everyday lifestyle, and you can join Jesus on his mission to the people whom you already know and meet every day and just see what Jesus does. Amen.